Before we pray, I want you to just turn to like two people and just say Happy Easter, all right? Do that real quick.
Happy Easter.
Ah, not bad. Not bad. All right. It is so good to have everybody here. And the ushers in the back, there's an empty row up here, like the third row. If you need any seats, we got them right up here. So, well, let's pray together. Glad you're here on Easter Sunday. Lord, thank you so much that we can come together and we can come together to worship you. Lord, it seems like there's a joy here this morning that we're excited about. The smiles, the love that we feel in this room. Lord, speak to us now through the message and remind us of the great victory that we have because you are alive and you live here with us. We thank you for that and we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
It is good to see you. Good to have you here on this Easter morning. What a beautiful day outside to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how preoccupied with power we are in America? If you want to, you can read about dressing for power, eating for power. There is a magazine called Power, committed to the solutions of energy in our world. There is Powerball. Some of you know that intimately. I want you to look at this picture. Have you ever seen this lady right here? Her name is Gloria McKenzie. She was 84 years old in 2013 when she won the largest lottery amount up until that time, $590 million. Powerball made her financially powerful. At least for a while, she and her son had it out, lost all the money, I think. There are Power Rangers. How many of you remember Power Rangers? Charles still has little ones at his house. There's JD Power, a global marketing research company. There's PowerAid, Power Lunches, Power Words. You or your team can be a powerhouse. There are power plants that produce energy that we need. There's hydroelectric power, coercive power, informational power. There's political power, military power, power plays. In strength training, there's even power lifting. We are consumed with this idea of having enough power or being powerful. Certainly, no one wants to be powerless. Today, we're going to talk about power. We're going to talk about the resurrection power. And how the resurrection power is a power that can literally change your life. Well, what do we need power for? Have you ever needed power to change your situation but felt powerless? Or to change a relationship? Or how about to change yourself? Have you ever needed power to stop a bad habit? Have you had a personal energy crisis? You're just out of steam and you need more power to carry on in life? Some of you need power just to keep going. Maybe power in your relationships, in your marriage, in your career, in your relationship with your children or with your parents. Where do you get that power to change? That power is available through the resurrected Jesus Christ. The resurrection we celebrate today is all about power. The power that can change our lives. Look at this verse. Now, if you have your outlines, if you've got a bulletin, there's an outline you can pull out and follow along with us. The words and phrases and verses will be up on the screen as well. In Philippians 3:10, the Bible says, "All I want to know is Christ and to experience the power of His resurrection." And then Ephesians 1:20, it says this, "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to help those who believe in Him. the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Easter, the resurrection of Christ, is the most powerful event in all of history. The resurrection of Jesus proved that he was God's Son, and it proved that he had the power to overcome death. No one has ever beaten death before that time or after that time. But Jesus did. So what is resurrection power? This morning we're going to look at resurrection power and how the power can affect three different areas of our lives. Resurrection power is, number one, it is the power to cancel your past failures. Your failures, your mistakes, your regrets, your sins. And when I say it cancels them, I'm not talking about getting to a mindset where you just deny your past, pretend that it didn't happen. To cancel means to eliminate, to neutralize, and to offset. The resurrection power can cancel your past. Have you ever been halfway through a project and wish you could do it over? Everybody give me an amen on that one. I built the shed. I'm not a builder. I'd never built anything. I hadn't built a house, a doghouse, a birdhouse, an outhouse. I hadn't built anything. But I started to build a shed. Do you know that it matters if the floor is in square or not when you build a shed? I thought my floor was in square, looked good enough to me. I thought it was close enough. But did you know if your floor is not in square, then the frame gets a little off, so the walls get a little more off. By the time you get to the roof, you're way off. I was wondering why my corners look like this and not like this. I wish I could have done that all over. A lot of people feel that way about life, wishing they could just start over. They say to themselves, I've made so many mistakes. I've had so many failures, so many bad decisions. I wish I could just wipe them out and start over. You know what God says about your past? God says it is unnecessary for you to go around beating yourself up about your past. God says you don't need to go walking around with a heavy load of guilt or hurt or memories of your mistakes. Look at this verse in Colossians 3, verse 14. Paul said this, he has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. The Bible says God has canceled all the records of our sin. This, my friends, is good news. God has completely done away with your sins and mine through what Jesus did on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus was hung up for our hang-ups. He was punished so we wouldn't have to be punished. And because of what Jesus did, we can be forgiven of every sin we've ever committed. Complete, absolute, total forgiveness for what we've done wrong. Everything. Folks, Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to change you. And because of the resurrection, there is power now available to cancel your past once and for all. And when God cancels your past, it allows you to get on with the present. Look at this, Romans 8:1. This is really good news. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, his last phrase was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." They buried him. They put him in the grave. He came back. He wasn't finished. The work he came to do was finished. It is finished. It means paid in full, canceled. It's what was stamped onto a bill when they were paid in full. And now you don't owe anymore. And God says, that's what I did on the cross. I paid for every mistake you made. That's why I sent Jesus. And Jesus was sent to be crucified on the cross so you could stop crucifying yourself. When you commit your life to Christ and you ask Him to take control of your life, from that point forward and forever, you are under absolutely no condemnation. None. You are forgiven. And if the God of the universe can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. You can let go of those things, those demons in your mind, in your heart, in your head. You can let them go. Jesus paid your sin bill. And when you receive Him as your Savior, you make a commitment to Him. You no longer have to worry about your past. Resurrection power cancels your past. One man said to his friend, "You look depressed. What are you thinking about?" The man said, "My future." That was the quick answer. "What makes it look so hopeless?" The man said, "My past." Because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, He has forgiven your past. All you need to do is receive it. All you need to do is accept it. Easter gave Jesus the power to forgive all your failures. It also gave you, number two, the power to conquer your problems. The power to conquer your problems. Now, all of us have problems. It's part of life. If you don't have any problems, check your pulse. We all struggle. One of our problems is we don't know what to do with our problems. We try to solve them in our own power. That's one reason why we feel so tired and exhausted, because we're expending an enormous amount of energy trying to handle all of our problems all by ourselves. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can have power that He gives us to conquer our problems. Look at these verses in Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 and 37. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us." Notice the word conquerors there. To conquer means to overcome by gaining control. Many people today feel like their lives are out of control. Some of you here may feel like there's a part of your life that's out of your control. You just can't tame it. You can't control it. No matter what you do, it has its way with you. Life is going on at breakneck speeds, and all you can do is barely negotiate the turns. As a matter of fact, I would dare say sometimes you wipe out going around the curve. But if you let Jesus Christ control your life, the Bible tells us that nothing can ultimately devastate you. No matter how dark or how hopeless it is, God can turn it around. And if it doesn't get perfectly turned around on this side of heaven, if you're a believer in Christ, you get to go to heaven. And I'm telling you now, it's turned around then. We won't have to go through all the stuff we go through down here. I enjoy life, most of it, most of the time. Sometimes I'm done with it. But one day, I will never have to worry about that again. And I'm getting to heaven the same way you are, not because I'm a preacher. I think most of those might not make it. I get there the same way you get there, by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. But because Jesus came back to life, he defeated death, and I received him as my Savior. I committed my life to him. He gives me forgiveness and salvation and grace. God loves to take crucifixions and turn them into resurrections in your life. And that same power allowed Jesus to raise from the dead and can help you overcome your problems now. Resurrection power cancels your past. It helps you conquer your problems. And number three, resurrection power is the power to change your personality. The power to change your personality. Doesn't matter what type of personality you have, there's always room for improvement. Would you agree with that? Now, what would you like to change about yourself? Well, let me put it another way. What would your spouse like to change about you? Or your best friend, or your parent, or your child? What would they say needs to be changed about you? One wife said, "My husband is so temperamental, he's 90% temper and 10% mental." Fill this in. It's just like me too. What? It's just like me to always be late, to be temperamental, to be insecure, to be lazy. It's always like me to be a workaholic, to worry, to not follow through with my promises. It's always like me to make excuses, get angry, say things I regret. It's always like me to... You fill in the blank. God has the power to change your personality. He uses a two-step process. First, a person's initial commitment to Christ is the beginning point of the change in our personality. You have to take that first step, make a commitment to Christ, receive him as your Savior. That's the beginning of change in your life. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. God wipes out your past. It's all gone. He gets you to be able to start over. That's why the Bible says it's being born again. You get a new start. You get a brand new start with a clean slate. And as Paul said, you become a new person inside. You're not the same person anymore. A new life begins in you. That begins the process of change in your life, in your personality. And it's a lifelong process, by the way. You get saved. You become a Christian. You become born again instantly. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you make that commitment. You are a child of God instantly. But that didn't fully change you. We're really messed up. It takes a long time to change us from the inside out. Romans 12:2, Paul said this: "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed." Once you commit your life to Jesus, the process of changing from the inside out begins. So that your whole attitude of mind is changed. It takes time because we need a lot of changing, but God's power is there to do it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of you have terrible belief systems in your mind. You're believing lies and you consider them truth, and it's just bringing you down. Some of you are struggling with things you've been struggling with for decades. God can change that. It does take work. One major obstacle for people to change is procrastination. I'd ask you, if you procrastinate, raise your hand, but you'll probably put it off till tomorrow. We procrastinate making that initial commitment to Christ. We procrastinate in following through. Sometimes we just procrastinate. We put off things. There's a story in the Bible about the plagues that God sent on Egypt. God sent different plagues upon the Egyptians for not letting God's people go. And when it came to the plague of the frogs, there's something very interesting that happens. Frogs were everywhere. I don't like frogs. I think they're nasty. I don't think they're going to be in heaven. They're just terrible. I won't touch a frog. We have these little frog toad things about this big where I live on John's Island when the water gets warm. And one got in my house. And Libby's like, Kevin, get it, get it. And I'm like, no. I called my neighbor, Ray, to come over and get it for me. It peed on my hardwood floor. There's no way I'm touching that frog. No way. So God sends this plague of frogs that overwhelmed the water, the land, the food, the houses. The Bible says there were even frogs in the beds. Pharaoh called Moses and said, I'll let your people go. And Moses said, fine, when? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. He's an idiot. He's got to be crazy. There's a famous sermon on this text called One More Night with the Frogs. Why in the world would Pharaoh or anybody else spend one more night with the frogs when they didn't have to? Why would anyone put off a change in their lives that could be positive for them and those around them? Why would we put that off when we don't have to? But this is what we do when we say things like, well, I'm going to let Jesus in my life in a little while. I'm going to get my life right soon. I'm going to start going to church regularly sometime in the future. I'm going to start studying my Bible or become of a part of a Bible study group. Or I'm going to start having my daily devotions with God. I'm going to start giving. And we just procrastinate. We just postpone. I don't understand that. Why would anyone want to spend one more night with the frogs? Folks, God really does have the power to change your life. The resurrection was incredible power. Jesus is alive today. And can change your life, begin changing your life. He can forgive you. He can make you ready for heaven. He can enter your life and get you right. He can, if you're already a believer, your status regarding being in heaven is already sealed. You're going there. But sometimes you're a believer and you just step back for a while. And a little while turns into months, and months turn into years. And before you know it, you don't have anything to do with God anymore. You're still his child. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to simply say, hey, God, I'm sorry I walked away. I just need to renew my commitment to you. It happens in marriages all the time, right? Husbands and wives, they make that initial commitment down here at the front of the altar in the church. They make that initial commitment, and that's wonderful. But in marriage, you've got to make renewals of that commitment over and over and over again. Do you not? Sometimes we need to make renewal of our commitment to Jesus. So, what are you waiting for? There's no better time than right now. But how do you do it? I think it's there in your outline. Is it there? You have number one, admit. Do you have that one? Just look at it with me. It's right there. First thing you do is you admit that God has not been first place in your life, and you ask him to forgive your sins. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I admit you've not had first place in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. And God says, I'll do it. I'll forgive you. Secondly, you believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins and arose again on Easter and is alive today. Romans 10:9, if you confess that Jesus is your Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess it. God, I confess. I can't save myself. Jesus, I know, I believe that you came back to life, and I just trust you in that. And then three, you accept God's free gift of salvation. Don't earn it. You can't be good enough to have God's forgiveness. He gives it to you as a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace, you have been saved through faith. Not from yourselves. It is the gift, the free gift of God, not by works. You can't do anything about it. So we can't boast. You accept God's free gift of salvation. And four, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be the manager or the Lord of your life. John 1:12, to all who receive him, he gives the right to become the child of God. All we need to do is trust him to save us. All those who believe this are reborn, born again, not a physical rebirth, but from the will of God. Because of the resurrection, Jesus Christ has the power to cancel your past, to conquer your problems, to change your personality. All you need to do is let him do it. All you need to do is ask him to do it. So I'm going to pray a prayer here, and I'm going to pray it in two ways. First, I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart. It's simple. It's easy. The Bible made it that way. God wants us to be saved. He didn't complicate it. I'm going to pray a prayer where you can pray. You can repeat these words in your mind, in your heart. If you want to whisper them, you can do that. To receive Christ for the first time into your life. And then I'm going to pray another prayer for those here, myself, who are believers, who may need to feel like you've walked away from God a little bit and you need to get back. And so you want to just rededicate your life to God. Okay? So let's do that. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? God, thank you that you love us, and through your Son, Jesus, you forgive us. Jesus, thank you that you have all power. The resurrection showed that you have all power in this world. You came back to life to give us life, abundant life and a forgiven life. So Jesus, as much as we understand, as much as we know, we don't know it all, we don't understand it all, but as much as we do, we want to thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we can be forgiven. And Jesus, as much as we understand, we want to ask you to come into our lives right now. Jesus, come in. Forgive me of my sin. Take control of my life. As much as I understand, Jesus, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day forward, Jesus, I commit my life to you, not to earn your salvation, but because you saved me, I now want to follow you. thank you that you've come into my life, my heart. Continue to change me now. And God, I pray, because there are a lot of people here who are already believers, but in some form or fashion, we have walked a little bit away from you. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us to get back on that path of walking with you, of doing things regularly like praying and Bible study and church and giving and service. Help us to be faithful again. Lord, maybe there's a lot of areas we've slipped away from you. Maybe this morning we just want to start with one of those areas. And I ask, Lord, we would just put that at your feet right now and ask you to give us the strength to do that. Now, thank you, Lord, for this message, for the power of the resurrection and how it can change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, take us out from this place now into the sunshine and remind us that you are alive. You're with us every step of the way. We thank you for that. Bring us back here, Lord. I can't wait again to come together for worship next Sunday. Bring back folks who are here with us. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.